I think we have before us this whole meeting time that faith, dependence. I'd like to turn to a verse here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, just the latter part of verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the latter part of verse 9, there is no new thing under the sun. We have challenges, as we mentioned, as some have mentioned already. I look around the room, it's refreshing to see many whom I picture to be little one. And I may comment to some earlier, I still picture you to be this high, and now you're parents. And we see little, many of you. An excuse, perhaps I even make apology for many my age group that still think of you as little babies. The world's getting complicated, as our brother already mentioned. But we still hold the same word. Does this need to be updated? How many of you carry a cell phone in this room? I've seen many. How many of you notice that every few weeks it needs an update? Or computers. And when the program comes out, they say it's the latest, greatest. It can do this and that. Within days, weeks, there are flaws. And I remember being in the business 40-somewhat years ago, they always look forward to a new update. This new update is going to fix this and that. And then within days, they find that those new updates introduce more problems, so you need another update to do the updates. That's the world, but there's no update needed in this world. In this book that we held, the principle is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God's principle doesn't change. His dealing with man may change a little bit. So with a little bit of time, I'm trying to rush a few thoughts, and I'm not good with framing things together, so I hope that you can follow my thought. It could be scattered. First, I want to mention, or rather mention, garden. Now, as I look across the room, I don't know how many know Chinese. How to read and write. Yes, I see one hand up there. She can read and write Chinese. Now, for some of you, there's no internet here, but when you get home, there's a thing called Google Translate. It can verify this by writing the English word and see what the Chinese character will come up. And the word I'm thinking of is what's before us, garden. So if you Google that or do a Google Translate, you see it interesting. Garden consists of one little symbol called earth or dirt. Why dirt? Well, there's dirt in the garden, we know that. And right underneath that, as a little square, maybe not quite square, it's close to a square, that symbol can mean different things. It could mean the mouth, or it could mean a language, or it could mean someone breathe into this dirt. Dirt, mouth, someone breathe into this dirt. And underneath is a stick man figure, and Barbara M. would verify that, just two lines like we draw a stick man, is a symbol for a person. And interesting enough, the two of this symbol, two people. So dirt, breath, two people. You know that story. Oh. On top of that, there's a square box around it. Two people. Dirt, breath, two people protected in this enclosure. This is the Chinese character for garden. Isn't it interesting? The Word of God tells us so. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I like to turn to it because I find often We try to find answers the hard way when there are many simple things we need to go back to, the Word of God, the basic. So I know many of you know the chapter well, so I'm going to read just the last verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. When God made the creation, it was good. We need those principles. When man said, this doesn't do well, that... No, we destroyed it. God didn't make it bad. It was good. Well, I'll throw another Chinese symbols to you. I'm sorry this wasn't prepared. It would have been nice if I have the overhead projector behind us and show the symbol. So you have to use your mind's eye for now. It was good. In the Chinese symbols or characters, the word character good consists of two known characters. That would be a symbol of a woman or girl. By itself, it means a girl. A symbol of a boy, you put the two symbols side by each to form one new word, and that word is good. How did the Chinese know that? Because they knew the Word of God. You laugh, and you'll find it's not laughing matter, because the Word of God is throughout the world. It wasn't exclusive to us. We think that a lot of these countries don't know. God makes sure that the Word was known. The story of Noah is well known throughout the world, isn't it? I'm sure when you go to Africa, they have a form of the flood story. Now, time is going. I want to just say one more. There are many. In fact, some people have said that you can explain the first 11 chapters of Genesis using Chinese symbols. So I'm going to jump to chapter 11. And I'll use one more example. These are more to encourage you to read the Word of God. I believe it's chapter 11. Chapter 11. Now, I'm going to preface this. I'm going to warn you about internet. Let's read about this. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Interesting, isn't it? One language. That means anybody can walk up to anybody and talk away, and they can communicate, make things, do things. And what's the term we use today? Collaboration, right? We want to collaborate. One language. But there's a problem when there was one language. Because every thought we find, I think it's in the sixth chapter, you can look at that. Every thought of man, what is it? An imagination of man. Was it to do good? No. The Word of God tells us it's evil continually. So in other words, one of you would say, hey, you know, we can make gunpowder and we can save a lot of work. We can blast those mountains with ease. Another man will come and say, wow, if I take this gunpowder, I can blow up hundreds of people with it. That's the thought of heart. And has it changed? No. It's not, it's the same today. So in the 11th chapter, they have one language. And maybe I just won't go. You know the story well, that God came and confounded the language because they wanted to be reaching to God themselves, man's religion, man's way to get to God. The Chinese character for tower. Now, some would say these are just pictograms, so this should be a picture of something tall and high and wide as tower. Well, it's nowhere clear near that. It consists of a number of symbols together. It consists of grass and dirt. Now, that took me a long time to try to figure that out. What does grass have to do with and dirt? What do you do with grass and dirt? That you have to go to the book of Exodus. What did Pharaoh say to the slaves? He was so upset. He said, don't give them any straw to make bricks. Oh, grasp and they were making breaks. And then it said man had one mouth. They had one language making breaks. Power. Man was able to communicate so well that the thought was evil continually. Well, today, with internet, now, just so you know, I use it. Until you come to a place like this where you can use it, when there's no access. God confounded it because of man's problem. In fact, we find, here's another thing, if you ever know some Chinese from China, from various places, I don't remember how many, 50 some odd dialects. Now, these are not accents. It's so different that you would not be able to understand another dialect. So the old joke was, you see six Chinamen together, they were writing. They can't talk to each other, but they can write because the writing is the same. But the pronunciation of the words are totally different. So you see them years ago just write to each other, you're passing notes. Well, today, English, in many ways, becomes more like a universal language. You can communicate. With internet, you can communicate. The point here, brethren, young people, those who I thought are still children, what are you doing with that communication? Is that good communication that we encourage one another in the Lord? 24th chapter, when the two of the road to Emmaus, we won't have time to go to that, we know the story. They were communicating with each other. Do you remember that story? What did they sound like? They were sad. What manner of communication was that? How do you communicate now that you have free access? You know, I remember years ago, communication wasn't easy. And if it was, it wasn't cheap. My wife's not here. She doesn't like me talking about things like that. But I'll share old secret. 45 years ago, we don't even have cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. We have telephone. And long distance call was expensive. Some of you will laugh. What's a long distance call? Right now it's free call throughout North America. Long distance. And I remember calling from Toronto to New Jersey during the day was $2 a minute. So how long you talk depending on how much you have saved up. But then if you call after 12 o'clock, it was down to 50 cents a minute. So we have to learn to wait. And then I learned too that man was cunning. If you call 1 minute before 12, the pricing start with a connecting time. So you think, oh, it's cheaper, I can talk for an hour. You're being billed the hour for $2 a minute. Communications. What are you talking about? Are you encouraging one another with the word of God? Like we have, and I trust this day, yesterday, today, that we have encouraged one another with these words. We have encouraged one another that the Lord Jesus is the center of everything. Yesterday, someone made some fun about putting up the hands. I forget the actual connections on it. But I often tell story like this. At Sunday school, you may have noticed with children, you will say, okay, I have a question for you. And then you see the children put their hands up. They all follow with the hands up. And you go, well, I haven't asked a question yet. They put their hands up because they know. In most cases, they know the answer. Because most answers should be Jesus. Isn't that true? So they put their hands up knowing that if they say Jesus, more likely they are right. And I want to share with you, we have questions in this book. I have many questions still, and I was glad a brother raised a question in the last meeting. We have to look at it with the view that knowing Whatever the question is, the answer is Jesus. Every word here is connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have that in view, we can see and understand Scripture more. Just with a couple of minutes left, turn back to Genesis chapter 22. I suggested that. We didn't have time to finish. I just want to share a couple more thoughts that I had on this chapter. Here, we talked about the Lord Jesus, about God and Father walking together. But here, too, it gives us a lot more. It gives us an outline, as if it were. We mentioned the third day. Death and resurrection should always be in view. Abraham got the answer on the third day, and he saw that the place afar off was shown to him. We know the story of how he was ready to put that knife through his son. And the angel was able to stop him. Now, brother mentioned about substitution. A ram caught in the thicket replaced that. But then in type, we'll find that Abraham said, and they returned. There's no mention of the word Isaac and Abraham returned. Why so? I believe in type that Isaac was offered up. But he didn't die, did he? In type, that was resurrection. Death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus has to take place. But then what happened after death and resurrection? There are blessings. His seed's going to be like sand in the seashore. And then let's go down to verse 23. I enjoy this part. Verse 23 is that, and Bethuel beget Rebekah. Oh, after the death and resurrection, a bride was being prepared. Rebecca has to come from somewhere. Someone asked, how old do you think Isaac was? I don't know. But I do know that Isaac is a lot older than Rebecca, because Rebecca was born after this event. Isn't it interesting? So we see the outline in a sense from the Word of God, death and resurrection. And then a bride is being prepared. And the bride is going to be home for blessing. But the bride won't be home for blessings right away. That's the 22nd chapter. 23rd chapter, Sarah. A picture of Israel. Sarah, Israel has to be put aside first. Sarah has to die first. And then the 24th chapter, the bride. After Israel was set aside, as if it were, the bride is now brought into blessings. And then you go to the next chapter after, you see Abraham had more sons and daughters. The rest of the world are blessed because of Abraham. Oh, there's so much in these chapters that we look at and say, it's the Old Testament. We don't need to know. No, that is not true. In fact, one more comment. To understand the book of Revelation, often we'll say, that book is so difficult to understand. You know why it's difficult? It's because the writer assumed that you have read the 65 books before that. So a lot of it is saying, if you know this already, then it's easy to understand. So I will encourage you. There is nothing new under the sun. It's the same Word of God. We're to study this Word of God so that we know how to walk in this present evil world. We don't need instructions of exactly what to do, but we need direction from God and the Spirit of God. What raised the wondrous thought, or who did it suggest, that we, the church, to glory brought,
captured with the sun in flesh, 330. What grace thou art.